We'll take two off the line. We have Senator Hoffman, Senator Torgerson, Senator Phillips, and Senator Kelly was here, and he went next door to testify on the bill that he has in judiciary, so he'll be popping back in and out. We have before us one bill, House Bill 474, which is an act relating to civil violations of municipal ordinances. And I'll just invite you folks right up to the table, and we'll just talk about this.
Remember, the longer you talk, the less votes you get.
I had three questions that I posed. Come on, yes, come on up. And if you would all just introduce yourself for the record, and we'll just not have to worry. Do we have anybody on teleconference? We do? Okay. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Well, for the record, I am Marvin Coggins, aide to Representative Cynthia Toohey, who is the sponsor of House Bill 474.
And I'm Diane Worley, Director of the Division of Family and Youth Services.
I'm Lieutenant Chris Stockard, representing Public Safety.
Okay, good. Great. What I had done is asked three questions of the sponsor. Or maybe I should let you do your sponsor. Give us your pitch.
60 seconds. Okay.
I think the bill is pretty straightforward.
Right.
It's mainly letting us... go ahead.
This is Marvin Coggins again, and we just want to thank you for this opportunity. The municipality of Anchorage approached Representative Toohey with their proposal to help address juvenile crime at the municipal level. House Bill 474 would allow municipalities to better respond to less serious juvenile behavior by expanding its jurisdiction to include the ability to subject juvenile offenders to civil violations. We all know the juvenile justice system has some problems. Too often, young offenders are finding there's no meaningful consequence for their delinquent behavior. This is particularly true for those who commit minor offenses, since the justice system is already overwhelmed with serious offenders. Knowing this, juvenile offenders have become increasingly dangerous and blatant regarding their offenses, since they know the overloaded system can do little to them. This will allow the state juvenile justice system to focus on the more serious criminal activity while assuring that the juvenile offenders of less serious offenses can receive more immediate consequences for their actions at the municipal level. It has the support of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce as well as the municipality. Carmen Clark Weeks, who is the Anchorage Municipal Prosecutor, is online, as well as Anchorage's Deputy Chief Udland and Bob Bailey from the Anchorage Chamber. And the people who are in the room have identified themselves already.
Right. Good. Thanks. What I'll do before I go to teleconference is I basically asked you three questions this morning to have you reply to. One was page 1, line 14, whether or not you actually intended to have the violation each day be a violation. I wasn't sure if that was an oversight or if you intended to do that, so I'll let you respond to that one.
Can I go now, Mr. Chairman?
If you want.
Okay, I got to go to finance.
Okay.
We're wrapping up the budget.
You bet.
I see Senator Kelly's here.
Okay,
so,
we still have our quorum. Thank you.
You need me to send me a page.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll make an attempt here to respond briefly. Basically, the municipalities were on somewhat soft ground in dealing with minors, and so this is almost more of a clarification that this section of the statute includes a minor, and the language that you reference on line 14, the each day portion, I have checked with the various entities who have been working on this bill, and they feel that language we wouldn't want to change, or we would not want to change it to address minors differently.
Okay, good. And the second question was in Section 3, and this is what we were discussing just before we went on record, as to whether or not we're calling in here that a copy of the civil complaint go to the Commissioner of Health and Human Services or the designee on every offense. And we started discussing some of the, I understand, on parole violations, or not parole violations, but... curfew or graffiti or things of this nature, that may be something you'd want to have happen. But there are other ordinances that I would assume would come underneath this that wouldn't necessarily have anything to do with a police officer writing a citation or somebody making that notice available to the commissioner. And it seems like an extra lag or an extra burden that you're placing upon the local government. So
And I would like to defer that comment to some of the other people that are more appropriate to address it.
Again, Diane Worley, Division of Family and Youth Services, and I will respond to it from our perspective, and then perhaps Chris could elaborate from the police perspective. We had requested this. This was not in the original bill, and we requested it for the reason that if these violations were outside of the juvenile system, that we wanted some way to make sure we had information about certain patterns of behavior with youth if they then at a later date got into the juvenile justice system. We did not want to have a youth have perhaps 10 municipal ordinance violations, then they finally come into our system and they're considered a first-time offender, and we have no record or kind of history of their behavior up to that point. So that was one reason. Another reason is that we have a lot of kids who are on probation, and through this process, if we did not have some form of notification, we could have a kid on probation. They could violate municipal ordinance left and right, and we would never know, and we would just assume their probation was going along fine. So those were our reasons. Now, whether, you know, what is going to be notified, given to us, how we are going to do that, we assume through this wording that we would be able to negotiate that on a basis with each municipality. At this point, Anchorage is the primary municipality that we'll be dealing with because they are the ones that are looking for this. But it is our assumption that other municipalities will also want to do this. And I have to admit that I do not know some of all the legal aspects or where some of these other violations that you're referring to might come in. So I was thinking more of the ones certainly that would impact our youth and the ones who could eventually at some later date or even in the juvenile justice system. We really feel that we would just like to have to be able to work on that on a local basis and deal with our local DFYS office and the municipality to figure out a process for making that happen.
Senator Hoffman, as a past city manager, do you see problems with this?
Well, it seems, is that just a monthly report, or are you going to be requiring to do it on a daily basis? If it's handled properly, it could be not as much paperwork, but if it's required on a more immediate basis, I can see where even in Anchorage you might have to have another full-time position.
Chair, I could respond to that. And again, we have not set up any specifics of that process, and our hope is not to make it more paperwork, not a lot more paperwork or a lot of trouble for anyone, but I think that we can develop a process between ourselves and the municipality, come up with a reasonable process that will work for both sides. On municipal violations, I do not see that we would have to have it on a daily basis. I would see either at the end of the week or the end of the month. I think that those would be workable for us. It's more just making sure that we have kind of that history of the juveniles' activities.
It seems like if you have the history of the juveniles, you could put in here that it would be a monthly report instead of a written notice. Just say that there has to be a monthly report.
That may very well be. As I read this, it leaves pretty large latitude for the commissioner to do whatever they want when they negotiate an agreement. And it does say mail a copy of the citation or other document setting out notice of the commencement of the civil enforcement action. I would guess the other document might be that monthly report without saying it. I don't know. I'll yield to Senator Hoffman. He's had more experience in this. Well, let's hold that for a minute, and we'll ask the folks on teleconference, too. The third question I brought up is if we need to specify on line 19, where subparagraph B, if we need to specify that it's a municipal hearing officer that we are assigning this right to as far as a hearing officer goes. And your response to that?
Yes, again, I'm Marvin Coggins. And through the chair, I spoke to the Department of Law regarding this, and they said that you'll note that on line 20 after resolution, it says, if provided for by a municipal ordinance. So this is an optional process. And they would prefer not to have municipal in there because they said that there are times that they might contract out. And if you would like further elaboration on that, I have someone right next door who, Lori Otto from the Department of Law, who could address that further.
We may want that. My distinction isn't on a contract with the municipality. It's the distinction between, is it a hearing officer that the municipality is responsible for, or is it a hearing officer that our current court system is responsible for? And that's the distinction that I wanted to make. This does not make that distinction. It just says you can appoint a hearing officer if you like, but to handle it. But currently, our hearing officers are on the state level, not on the, or at least I think they are.
A little
week will probably straighten us out on that too. So let's go to telecommunications. We have Carmen Clark Weeks first.
Thank you. Can you hear me? I haven't used this equipment.
No, you're coming in great. Did you hear our conversation on?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Do you believe that needs to be clarified with a municipal hearing officer, or is that clear enough the way it is?
Well, I guess actually I don't think that it makes a lot of difference. I think if you put municipal hearing officer in there, that would qualify. That would count contract municipal employees. Okay. But I think that since it already says allegations against a minor for a civil penalty under municipal ordinance may be assigned a hearing officer, then those would have to go to some type of municipal employee, because under the current system, you cannot go to a state hearing officer for violations of municipal code under any circumstances except through appeal of municipal administrative decision based on the way that Title 14 of the Anchorage Municipal Code is drafted and based on the way that the appellate rules to the state courts are drafted. So I don't know that it makes very much difference either way that you want to take it. I understand your concern. Your concern is the purpose of this ordinance. The purpose of this ordinance is that we, the municipality, recognize that in our efforts to effectively work toward reducing juvenile crime, we have begun to pass a number of ordinances that have had impact on the state system, such as curfew and possession of tobacco and possession of the sale of single cigarettes. And those things have been going into the magistrate that impacts the state court system. We want to take those out, remove that burden, and handle those types of things through our own hearing officers. So I do understand your concern, and it's the same concern we share, which is alleviating stress on the overworked state system. Now, with regard to the other question that you had on AS 2925070, Marvin spoke to me this morning about the concern that there was this question about whether or not it would be overbroad and that the Department of Health and Social Services would receive all these reports that wouldn't be particularly necessary to it. And I think there might be a way of handling that by on line 5, where it reads enforcement action for violation of an ordinance.
Yes.
You might want to just add in the language something which relates to the purposes of the Department of Health and Social Services. So it's clear that this isn't intended to do anything about zoning violation or any of violations or any other things that happen in the English system. Things like curfew and graffiti and possession of tobacco, possession of alcohol. We agree and have agreed that we want to make reports to the Commissioner of Health and Social Services, because we agree that allowing them to effectively supervise people who may also be on probation or who may come for the first time for a serious crime, knowing what type of history that these children have, is important. And in terms of the amount of burden, the municipality sees the burden as being fairly insignificant in the sense that the police department, whoever has contact with juvenile offenders, already supervised the department, it would simply be a continuation of a policy that's already been in effect. And I can't say that I know exactly how they do that already, but my understanding they simply forwarded copies of police reports or citations on a regular basis. Deputy Chief Udlin can speak to that. But the municipality does not believe that this is overly burdensome, and actually we believe it's something that ought to happen. With regard to the exact type of notification, it appears that the people who have already set out a system can simply continue the system that's in effect without a lot of impact.
Okay, great. I think with that amendment, that makes me more comfortable too, so we'll probably offer that.
And I think that the example here that was overly broad, it's simply sort of limiting it to ordinances which relate to the Department of Health and Social Services.
Well, that still leaves it pretty broad, because a lot of it would still, they could take on something that would relate to them if it...
Right, it's unfortunate. This is later.
Right.
Where we set forth what type of infractions we're actually talking about curfew. If that already existed, we could say violation of ordinance under title whatever the municipal code, but we can't enact the code until after we have the horse, and I'm certainly hoping you'll pass this horse.
Sure. Okay. Thanks. Bob Bailey?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Bailey, and I'm here representing the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce today. I'm on the Anchorage Board of Directors and co-chair of the Chamber's Crime Prevention. Several months ago, the Crime Prevention Committee started looking at the proposals that the municipality of Anchorage is bringing forth this year for crime prevention. And early on in our meetings and hearings, we saw that juvenile crime is a huge problem and a growing problem in the state, and in particular the municipality of Anchorage. The thing we learned early on also was that the municipality is virtually helpless in the area of juvenile crime because they have absolutely no jurisdiction. Everything has to be turned over to the state system. And that state system, although it is very a good system and good people working there, is just overburdened. And because of the serious crimes that are happening, a lot of the minor crimes were and infractions were slipping through the cracks. We don't feel that HB 474 necessarily solved the juvenile crime problem, but it does allow the local municipalities to use their resources as a first line of defense against first-time offenders in particular. It's been shown over and over again that juveniles commit crimes because they know they won't be prosecuted due to the overcrowding of the state system. When they get away with it once, they become the repeat offenders. So on December 15th, the Anchorage Chamber passed a resolution supporting the entire package the municipality brought forth. And in particular, here today, I'm asking for your support of HB 474 because we think it's an important first step to fighting juvenile crime, not only in Anchorage, but statewide.
Okay, thanks. And Dwayne?
Yes, Senator, for the record, my name is Dwayne Dunlin, Deputy Chief Anchorage Police Department. I can't really add a lot to what's already been said on the reporting issues. The clarification language that's been offered up sounds fine to me.
Good.
We think reporting is a good idea anyway, and even if it wasn't in the law, we would still probably send those reports on over to juvenile intake. We've got a system in place. It's virtually no impact on us, and I think they should have that information. As far as the concept itself, what we're doing, we see this as something for the municipalities to help the state out in a way by taking up some slack. Also, we do believe that civil fines do have an effect on kids, and I'll offer a very quick story. Recently, I was talking to some of the midnight shift officers who had charged some kids with several minor crimes that were going to be referred over to juvenile intake. The kids there weren't all that impressed by it because they heard about how things of minor nature are handled. And then just before the kids left, the officers gave each of them a $300 citation for violating the curfew. And suddenly, life became very real for them. And the $300 had far more impact on their attitudes and what they were doing than the threat of criminal charges being filed. So I think there is appropriate cases to use this law, and we urge you to pass it. And thank you for allowing me to testify.
Okay, Dwayne. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for being on teleconference. Now, the amendment that they are proposing, did you guys discuss that? Or do you know? It would be after ordinance on line 5. It would be which relates to the Department of Social Services. Or health, or she didn't say that, but you're right. Health and social service.
I think it's all right. Okay. I think we've reached a consensus here.
Okay.
And for the record, this is Marvin Coggins again, and we have no objection to that amendment.
I move the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there objection to adopting that? Hearing none, then we'll adopt that amendment. Now, did we decide to put municipal in front of hearing officer, or was it?
I have any part of law here to address that. I'll let you know. her address.
I may be making a mountain out of a molehill, but we don't say municipal by municipal ordinance can assign this to a hearing officer. Now, are we talking a hearing officer in the state level or a municipal hearing officer? And my question is, do we need to define that, or is this related to municipal?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I believe it's clear enough that it's a municipal hearing officer. I talked to the deputy municipal attorney for the city of Anchorage today, and they have a hearing officer in-house. She told me that she would prefer not adding the word municipal because of the possibility of contracting with a hearing officer in the event that there's a conflict of interest with their in-house hearing officer.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Anything else in the... What's the wishes of the committee? Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I move the bill with individual recommendation.
Thank you. Is there opposition? Hearing none, House Bill 474 removed from committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. And anything else come before the committee? Hearing none, we will adjourn.